This last week was the week of leftovers, right? It's like the time you prepare for leftovers, right? You get all the extra little containers so you can have your turkey and your mashed potatoes later. Last night, one of our family traditions is to make turkey pot pies, and they're kind of like turkey turnovers. Grandma Jessie, my dad's mom, taught me how to make them, and so I was rolling dough and making turkey turnovers last night, and it was fun. It's part of our leftover tradition and routine that we do. And I want to challenge you that during the Christmas season, you don't let church be a leftover. Don't let your attendance and your connection with community be a leftover during the Christmas season. I love Christmas season not just because of the time we get to spend together, because it is our story. It is the story of the Savior. And we get to own that story. And whether it's all full of marketing when you walk out of here and you go to stores and you're like, man, they make it all about Santa, the fat guy, and everything else. But know that even in that, just pause for a little while, whether you're in any retail store, anywhere in the mall, and you'll hear the music of Christmas. And 99% of the music, except for, you know, Grandma got ran over by the reindeer. Most of it is declaring that a Savior has come. And most people don't even know it, and they're singing it, and they're like, Silent Night, and Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and whatever song is declaring that Jesus, our Savior, has come. And we get to own that story. And I'm kind of proud of that. I want us to own it. I want us to own it with a kind of pride. This year, every year we decorate our house and with lots of lights, and Pastor Lynette wanted more lights this year than last year. And my neighbor came over and he says, you know, we've kind of nicknamed your house as the Field of Dreams. And he said, I said, why is that? He says, well, because if you build it, they will come. And so I just want to put a personal invite to you. I've done this for the last 5 years. And as long as we've lived in Agritopia, you're all welcome to come. To Agritopia and walk the streets. It is beautiful. And if you text me, and most of you have my number or Pastor Lynette's, text us, give us about 10 minutes, and if we're home, we will make hot cocoa for anybody that comes and your friends and family with marshmallows and sprinkles too, if you'd like that too. And I have an espresso machine if you want a hot coffee. So if you're coming, I might be in my PJs watching a Christmas movie, so I might not invite you in, but I will make you hot cocoa, or Pastor Lynette will make you hot cocoa, all right? You have been duly invited. All right, the second thing I wanted to announce, and I'll get into, in our street, if you didn't know it, I live on Valencia Street in Agritopia, just down the road, but during Christmas, they rename our street Candy Cane Lane. They literally took down the signs. Every light is Slim Pickens or whatever his name, or Peppermint Slim. I mean, it's like on steroids there. Like we had an agreement we got when we moved in. So come join us on Candy Cane Lane. So this year, our outreach that we want to do during Christmas is called Operation Cover Up, and it's a ministry that's in Mesa that provides warm things to people that need them. New or gently used jackets or coats, and new or gently used blankets. I'd prefer if we could do new, if we can. And I want us to knock their socks off. I want Kingdom Church to show up big time. And so today, on your way out, there's a table right around the corner here. Grab one of these so you don't forget. And then wherever you shop, they have nice blankets on sale, right? So whether it's Costco or Sam's or Walmart or Target, you can find a blanket. And if not, get a jacket and bring those in over the next 4 weeks. So if you brought it today, great, thanks. Because on the 24th, the staff and some of our team are going to fill my truck and other vehicles we need and take a drive up and drop them off at that ministry. And so I want us to be a part of that. Just know when you take this card, there's a number on the back. It's not a tracking device, but we know we want to keep track of how many cards have gone out, and we'd love you to return it with your blanket. So, Claire, I'm returning my card with the blanket there. It says number 2 on there. All right, so I already mentioned this. The holidays are full of traditions, right? Full of things that you do because someone else did them before. And some of us have traditions because of our family, the way we grew up, where we grew up, and we have these traditions. Like, you know, in my house, we have specific things that we try to cook and eat around the holidays. It always seems to be around food. What we do on Christmas Eve, what we do on Christmas morning, there's traditions that happen. And unfortunately, I believe that many of the traditions sometimes are associated to some of the negative things that come along with the holidays. And so today, I want to bring an encouraging word to you about what it means to see what God has to say about anxiety, stress, depression during the holidays. Now, doesn't that sound like fun? Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." See, God has an answer for us, and I'm going to give it to you in a little bit, so hold on to that for a little bit. He has an answer for what ails you. YouGov America did a survey and just last month, and it said one-third of adults under 30, who's under 30? I know your ages, so keep your hands down that they're not. Okay, there's a few of you. Under 30, they are likely to get into an argument about politics on Thanksgiving. So who got into an argument on Thanksgiving? Good, I'm glad none of you did. There was one hand. There were 29 folks at our house. Six of them were under the age of 10. But no one got into an argument at our house either. Arizona Family did a survey also last month. 64% of Americans said election stress is impacting their holidays. And 23% are considering skipping the holidays altogether. I hope that's not you. I hope none of you are skipping the holidays. Because the holidays, well, sometimes can be attached or connected to something that has been negative, are a wonderful time for us to spread the word of the Savior that was sent for you and me. It's part of the purpose. You know, it's not just that Jesus was born. It's just not that Jesus was born in a manger, and we're going to have a manger scene here in a couple weeks. It's that He was the Savior of the world. And we get to be a part of that. And so don't let any of this hold you back. So today, I'm going to give you some tools for your spiritual tool belt. Who doesn't like a good belt, right? I actually tucked in my shirt today so you could see my belt, which I rarely do because usually there's other things going on. And so you can see I wear my belt. I love belts because belts keep your pants up, right? That's important. Because no one wants to be sagging. I mean, unless you're a suspenders person. My son has recently got into suspenders. He's got three pairs of them. I don't know why, but he does. But most of us wear a belt, and belts are good so you don't sag. And my goal today and during the Christmas season is I don't want you to be sagging. And I don't want you to be sagging because I want you to have a good tool belt of how to handle the things that come against you during the holidays. All right? So you with me on that? So the holidays, for some reason, they bring out a variety of emotions, and some of them negative. Anxiety, stress, anger, sadness, isolation, ending your life thoughts, worry, comparison. For whatever reason, the holidays can bring out a lot of the negative emotions that we keep at bay sometimes. But for some reason, they come out and they affect us physically through whether it's racing thoughts, upset stomach, maybe a rapid heartbeat, or you have trouble concentrating, you worry, and it affects you physically. Don't raise your hands, but I know that this season has been extra hard for me. Anyone feeling that right now as I talk about this? Well, it's important for us to know, and it's important for us to figure out how to handle it. Now, I've shared this a few times, and I grew up in a family that my parents were divorced when I was very young. Not that young, but I was young enough. And I don't have a lot of memories, but the memories I do have, the holidays were full of drama. I was that kid that had to visit, you know, four different homes, sometimes more than that. I counted them this morning, and between live-in girlfriends and boyfriends and step-parents, I had six different step-people and homes that I was a part of during the holidays. And I remember specifically this one holiday where we went to my grandparents' house, And I had a grumpy grandpa. Anybody have a grumpy grandpa? I don't want to be grumpy grandpa. I'm like happy papa, right? But grumpy grandpa was a drinker. And he was an alcoholic at that time. He eventually gave his heart to the Lord, and we know he's in heaven. But at that time, he was grumpy drunk grandpa. And I remember walking into the house, and about half of the people that were supposed to be there were already gone because grumpy grandpa had lost his cool and started yelling at the kids or grandkids or got in a fight with sweet little grandma. And I remember coming in thinking, this is stressful, and I do not want to be here. Anybody ever feel like that? You walk into a holiday situation, you're like, can I go right now? Or on the drive there, you're like, I don't want to be there. And I remember getting in the house, and the people that were still there started to leave so that only grumpy drunk grandpa was left. And I remember we didn't have cell phones, so I had to use the dial phone, right? For you kids, we had these phones where you used your finger. And I called my girlfriend at the time. She's now Pastor Lynette. And I said, can you get me out of here? Because I didn't have a car until I was like 19. And so Pastor Lynette was my transportation. And so while I came with other family members, I'm like, I need an escape route. And we were talking about it this week, and she goes, oh, I remember. And I just drove up. I didn't even go in. And I like came running out. I'm like, come on, let's go. And we probably went to a movie and made out or did something fun like that. But because, you know, like holidays that are stressful, you got to do something fun, right? The only other memory I have of the Thanksgiving season, because I always had good times about Christmas season, was my dad, right after I got saved, we were having Thanksgiving at our house, and I have no memories of ever having Thanksgiving with my father. He's not here today, so you can't refute that. But I remember sitting at the table, and I had just given my heart to Jesus, so I was about 6 months Christian at the time, and he says, well, Brian's a Christian now, can you pray for the meal? And I knew he was kind of being like sarcastic about it, because he thought I was in a cult at the time, and because I was in a spirit-filled church. And so I said, sure I can pray. And I said, everybody bow your heads, and I said, rub-a-dub-dub, thank God for the grub. That was the last time he ever asked me to pray. So maybe for you, the holidays has been a bad memory of a bad holiday scene like I shared. Maybe you lost someone dear to you over the holidays, and it's just a memory of, I don't even want to think about Christmas because they're not here. Maybe for some of you, you hate crowds. You don't want to be around. You're that introvert, remember? And you don't want to be around crowds. Maybe you'll be faced with some past wounds, some hurts that you've had, and have to face someone that you've been avoiding. Maybe you have expectations of a family that we know won't be met. You're hoping that you're going to get that big hug, or they're going to care about your feelings or ask how you're doing, and they don't. And so you've already created a story in your head. Yeah, maybe you're a person that you're the avoider of emotions person, and you don't want to go there, right? Because holidays take you there, right? Maybe you're an introvert. Maybe you're struggling financially and the pressure of all this gift giving and gift receiving is just way too much. Maybe you're embarrassed to receive gifts because you don't feel like you're worthy. Or maybe you don't have a gift to give. I've told this story before, but Grandma Lopez, my mom's mom, she was always good at this. And it didn't matter who I brought to her house. She had this cabinet with like extra socks, underwear, and white shirts. And it didn't matter who of my friends came over, she'd wrap it up and give them a gift. I remember bringing friends over there, I can't tell you how many times, and Grandma Lopez always had a gift to give. Or maybe you're hoping to be seen or valued, included, and you're already fearing that you won't be. And I just want to say this out loud because I believe that anxiety and worry are real things. They are addressed directly in the Word of God. You know, sometimes I'll talk about a topic and I have to infer what God is telling us. We don't have to infer anything here. He gives us exactly how to handle stress and anxiety in His Word. because he knew that we would do it. And anxiety and worry are really about things in the future that you're not really confident are actually going to happen. But you create the story in your head that they will. Yeah, right up here is the, right up here in between these two satellites is where all the trouble is, because we create all the problems in our own head about what will happen. It doesn't mean that there aren't people, right, and situations that aren't stressful. And you probably all are thinking right now, why is he talking about this today? And the reason is because I think we all deal with a measure of this. I think we all have family situations or family members that you're like, may I hope they don't come this year. Or if they do come, I hope that it doesn't end up like last year. Or maybe there's a family member that you haven't talked to in an entire year since the last holiday. There are people that look for the holidays to create drama. Did you know that? They love the scene of having everybody together and doing that. But I believe that God wants to have us have freedom with that. And so today, on December 1st, I thought, I'm starting an Advent calendar, if you know what that is, and it's made of cheese. I got it at Sam's Club. Oh my gosh, I was so excited. Because, you know, the Advent calendars with the chocolate, I'm like, oh, those are cool. But I found one with cheese, and so we're doing Advent cheese. So on December 1st, I'm making a commitment that I want to pour into you so that this holiday season is the best it's ever been. No matter what situation, and I'm not trying to downplay any hurts that you might have had. Because I've had my own hurts. I've had my own family stories. And I have to make a choice. And now I have a season of loss in my life where I won't be able to celebrate with my mom ever again. And I can't think of a Thanksgiving or a Christmas that I didn't spend with her. So I have to make a choice. And just a quick nugget for you when it comes to stuff and gifts. I just want to give you a little freedom. We discovered this week as we were going through mom's stuff, you will not outlive your stuff. Did you know that? You will not outlive it. And that all the things that we have that we think are important, I just want you to know, they're not. They're going to end up at Goodwill or the DI, wherever you take your stuff. And so recognize that the gifts that you give, well, we can be caught up with the, I have to have this kind of thing. I just want to encourage you, maybe this year you write a letter, share your heart. I did this a few years ago, and I wrote a card to every one of my kids and their husbands and encouraged them and spoke God's word over them. Because I believe God's word is powerful, and sometimes we need to hear it from the people that we love. And it lasts forever. Be intentional in your gifts. Check your heart for expectations. And I say, let your presence be your present. Yeah? Let your presence be your presence. Just show up and have a good attitude, right? And be fun. All right, back to the message. So I want to talk about the Bible because there are a bunch of dysfunctional families that are in the Bible. And see if you can guess who this person is. This person, he grew up in a blended family. Who grew up in a blended family? Come on, there's a few of you out there. He was one of one son, and he had four different moms. But he only had one brother who is his full brother, meaning from the same mother and father. He was considered the favorite son by his dad, and his dad would show him favoritism and gave him gifts and doted over him. He also was known as a tattletale. That means that he saw something that was going on, and he would run back to dad and say, oh yeah, I saw the brothers doing this, and he tattled on them. But he was also known as a dreamer, and he had visions about the future. The Bible tells us that his brothers hated him. They hated him, and every time he told a new dream and a vision, it said that they hated him even more. I'm going to read the scriptures in a second. Anybody guess who I'm talking about yet? Joseph, yeah, they wanted to kill him. That's how much they hated him. And they eventually threw him in a pit and gave him away into slavery, and he ended up in prison. Imagine Christmas time around their tent. Imagine Christmas time around that table, celebrating holidays with a Joseph in your midst. I'm sure it was a stressful time for them. The life of Joseph, he was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. And that's just not a fact. That is one of the most important facts because it becomes the future tribes of the nation of Israel, and it becomes the place where our Savior is born out of, this family of people. And so that even in the dysfunction of a Joseph who was very unliked by his family, hated by his family to the point of death, God still redeemed that. Let me read a few of the scriptures for you. They'll flash up on the screen. Genesis 37:2 says, "These are the records of the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pastoring the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah," that's one of the mothers, "and the sons of Zilpah, the other mother, and his father's wives. And Joseph brought back a bad report," tattletale, there he is, "about them to their father." Genesis 37:3 through 4 says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons," favoritism, "because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a very colored tunic." In some translations, it's called the coat of many colors. There's been Broadway plays written about it. "His brother saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers," favoritism, "and so they hated him, and they could not speak to him on friendly terms." Sound like a family member you might know or someone you've ran into, and you're like, "I just can't even look at him." No, I hope you're not like that. I hope you love your whole, all your family. But sometimes we have family members that you're like, "I just can't be around them." That's what was going on here. Genesis 37:5 says, "Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more." This guy was not getting it. Joseph was not self-aware. Let's just say that, right? He becomes a great man, but he was not self-aware. Don't tell him the dream. Genesis 37:8 says, "Then his brother said to him, 'Are you actually going to reign over us?'" Because that was part of the dream. "Or are you really going to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. So he had a dream, and he could have just left it at the dream. But he actually said, "Yeah, I think I'm supposed to rule over you." So they're like, "We hate you now even more." He hated it. He related it to his father and to his brothers. This is verse 10. "And his father rebuked him and said to him, 'What is the dream that you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come and bow ourselves down before you to the ground?'" So even his dad, who loved him, now is saying, are you saying this? And he was. Verses 19 through 20, though, "They said to one another," because they had had enough, "Here comes the dreamer." What a nice compliment, right? I would love to be known as a dreamer, right? A visionary, right? "Here he comes." "Oh no, not Joseph. Now then, come, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits, and we will say a wild beast devoured him. Then let us see what will become of his dreams." So many of you might not have been treated as poorly or have someone like Joseph in your family, but I just want you to know that if you had perfect holidays, God bless you. God bless you. But use that as a reflective time to help others, because most people, the holidays are a stressful time for all the reasons that we've already listed, right? And so I want to give you a little bit of the promise, and then I'm going to give you the how-to here, right? Amen? So the promise, and I want you to stand on this. Philippians 4, and at the end of verse 5, it says, "The Lord is at hand." And then I already read verse 6 for you about prayer and supplication. He says, and verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard our hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." See, that's the promise, church. That is the promise that he gives us for anxiety, for depression, for difficult situations in our lives. When we pray, when we give thanksgiving, when we seek him with all our heart, it says then he gives us the peace of God. That's why at Christmas time, lots of times people have signs of peace. And you're probably wondering, why? Is there a war going on in there? Well, there was a spiritual one, and God sent the one, the only one, who could give us peace. And that's why people say on Christmas time, peace on earth. Because he brings the peace to us. And the peace of God, which is not the peace of the world. We've talked about this before, right? Peacemakers and peacekeepers. The peace of God is a different kind of peace. It's a whole nother level. It's a kind of peace that is inside of you that no one else can give you. And that's what he does for us. It surpasses all comprehension. You can't get it. He will guard your hearts and your minds. See, he needs to guard both of those things. I drew little pictures of a heart and a brain. You don't want to see my brain diagram, but on my notes here, I do that. And he guards both our minds, which is where the warfare is taking place, but he also guards our hearts. Because I believe that, especially in times of hurt and wounds and stress and anxiety and things that happen during the holidays, you could reconcile it up here, but this gets wounded. Your heart gets wounded. And when your heart's wounded, then your mind takes over and says, oh, I'm going to protect my heart a little bit more. And I want to encourage you that when you pray to God, that you release that to him and you let him take your anxiety, take your stress, take your worry, take your hurt, take the absence of the person and take it on him, because he will guard your mind and he will guard your heart. Amen? I love that about him. Now, Jesus provides us with a window into the antidote for that anxiety, and it's found in Matthew 6. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount, verse 25, and then I'll skip down to 31, but follow along with me. I believe it's on the screens. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you'll drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And then he goes through all these examples about the birds and the lilies and how he cares so much for them and he provides for them that then he says, verse 31, do not worry then, saying, what will I eat or what will I drink or what will I wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And then I love this part. And I didn't plan this, but I believe this is part of why we are Kingdom Church. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God, his kingdom, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's the secret sauce to what we're supposed to do. This morning I had a God moment. My routine on Sunday mornings is my alarm goes at 5:45. I'm usually kind of already awake mentally and starting to think about my message, but today I wasn't. I've been tired. It's been a rough 10 days, and so my alarm woke me up for the first time in years. And I got up, and our hot water heater went out on Thursday night, and it's still not fixed. And so we've taken a few cold showers. We did get the pilot to go, so don't feel too bad for me yesterday. But I got up, and I started my study, and I go through my message kind of line by line one more time, kind of what I do. And at the same time, I listened to some worship music, and I'd put on Elevation Worship, the Lion album, and at the very moment, as I was scrolling through, this is page 7 of my notes, as I was scrolling through, I got to the song called This Is His Kingdom. And it's a 9-minute song with a 6-minute flow, they call it. So for 15 minutes, Elevation Worship is just, and I believe it was the Holy Spirit, just saying over me, church, seek his kingdom, seek my kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I just sat there and I just let him minister to me as I was preparing, because I believe that is for you and not just for me. That he's saying to us that when we seek him, when we go after all the things that we know we're supposed to do, the things that he has called us to do, the things we teach about, when we do that, when we seek his kingdom, his mercy, his love, his peace, and his righteousness, he adds the rest. And the rest is you don't have anxiety. You don't have worry in your life. You don't have stress and depression. He takes care of all of that for us. It is his kingdom. And when Jesus wrote this, he was saying, don't worry. God loves you the most. He cares for everything else. He cares for the birds. He cares for what you're making. He cares for everything else. and he loves you. That's what he was saying there. And he was saying that you have value. Build your faith and seek his kingdom. That's what he was saying to us. He provides for all of us over and over to you and me. So how does that look for us today? Here's some things. If you want to write something down, here are my suggestions for you to get through the holidays in a powerful, life-giving way. Number one, pray today. And we're going to pray today in a few moments. We're going to wrap up this morning, and you're going to pray for one another. We got to pray for Michelle today, and that was a beautiful example of the body of Christ. And you're going to get to pray together with the people around you. And maybe someone here today is saying, I'm struggling with the holidays, Pastor. Thursday was a really rough day for me because X, Y, Z, whatever your reason is. And I want you to get prayer for that. So pray first and be honest with God. Number two, you want to write these down? Change your perspective, like an oil change. Be thankful and grateful. Remember Philippians 4:6, I read it. He says, give thanks with prayer and supplication, giving thanks in everything. That's what he's told us to do. You know, when every Sunday as we're driving to church, just about every Sunday we're driving to church, Pastor Lynette says, give me your glasses so I can clean them, because I'm notorious for not cleaning these. They're pretty good today. And I'll hand them to her, and they're like completely clouded up. Like, she's like, how do you even see through these things? And some of us need to clean our spiritual glasses, right? We need to get the wipers out and like wipe off the junk and the lies of the enemy. And sometimes we need to clean our spiritual lenses so that we see things in God's perspective. Amen? All right, number three, don't create stories. If you're a storyteller, if you're a story writer, maybe you're good at this. You're probably your own worst enemy. You probably have created a story in your head about every situation involving the holidays, from shopping to the meetings and times and gatherings together, and you already have stories written, like a little book. And then when those invites come and when those opportunities happen, you're like, yeah, I'm not going. I'm staying home today, right? And if that's you, I'm saying don't. Stop. Stop creating stories and only believe the story of the Word of God. There's only one truth. You can't rewrite the truth, okay? It's His. Number four, prepare in advance. That's two things. Number one, if you need to make a call to that person, make it today, December 1st, like my cheese advent. Start with your calls, right? If you come by, I'll show you it. I'll show you my cheese. You'll be impressed, I'm telling you. But if you need to call someone, call them today and begin that process of saying, hey, I know I haven't talked to you in a year, and I know why, and I'm sorry. Whatever you need to do, do it. But prepare in advance. And then the second kind of preparation is, you know, if you need to do something to prepare your heart in a way where like, okay, my expectation has been this, but I'm going to prepare myself differently, and I'm going to have a different expectation so I'm not let down. Prepare in advance. I'm a Boy Scout, right? Be prepared. That's the motto, right, for all our scouts out there. Number five, create new memories. Make your holiday special for you and your family. There are times when you have to do that. When Pastor Lynette and I moved to Arizona, we didn't know a soul, literally. Had not one friend, had not met anybody, had no family, and weren't going to church at that time. And so we made a decision that our holidays were going to look like this. And we created our own memories and what those would look like in our own traditions. And now today, our kids want to do exactly what we've done. And I know some of you have stories like that where you have to create new memories because maybe the people that you did the holidays with are gone, or maybe it wasn't so healthy. And so you're like, I'm going to create memories for my family right here and right now. Next one is, because I've lost count, is set some boundaries. Say no to the drama and chaos. There are seasons when you know if you go, it's going to be like drama. So create a boundary. Tell yourself, we're going to go late and leave early, right? I love that. I used to, when I was in the HR world in corporate, I would get invited to a lot of parties. And I would always tell Pastor Led, I'm going late and I'm leaving early, because people do stupid things at corporate parties. And I never wanted to be involved in those. So if you know there's going to be drama and chaos, come be polite and be honoring and do the things you should do as a son or a daughter or whatever relationship you have, but leave early. And leave early with your head held high, right? Set some boundaries. Next one is, and I only got two more, is memorize some scripture. Get it down in you. You know, I have a whole list of them for you, but, you know, start with Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And that you just begin to get those things down in you. How about 1 Peter 5, 7? Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Or Psalms 55, 22, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Begin to say that. Say those things over yourself and your family. Begin to do that. And for all of you that have it all together, no one's making eye contact with me, I can't tell anyways. Recognize that there might be someone in your circle of influence that doesn't have it all together. And they need to be encouraged by you because you have it all together. And share the truth of God's word with them. You know, that's part of the ministry that we get to do as church family. And show people the realness of who we are and let that influence them. And so if you have people coming over and you're like, oh, I know today's going to be a tough day. Because, not just because there's drama and chaos, maybe they lost someone and this day will be a very hard day. Be ready for that. Pray for them in advance. And when they come, give them a little extra hug and make them sit next to someone that you know is going to make them laugh and enjoy the day. My wife, we had 23 adults and 6 kids over for Thanksgiving. And we had lots of food and all that. But Pastor Lynette loves to like decorate the table and, you know, have it all nice and whatever. But the most important thing she does is seating, where you're going to sit. And some of you were there. Some of our family was there. And she's strategic about like where you sit because she cares about you, who you are. And I just want to say that because I think that you can prepare for things like that. You can help people with that if you have your junk together. Now, casting 101 means that you throw upon, get rid of it, like casting out for fish, for fishermen. That means you give it up. So if you have anxiety, if you have stress, if you have worry in your life, cast it on him, right? Give it to him. He wants it. Let me give you the rest of the story of Joseph as I round home here. Joseph, after he gets out of prison, is elevated in the nation of Egypt and becomes number 2 in charge over the entire nation of Egypt, just below Pharaoh, who is the king of Egypt, right? And he has this enormous authority and power. He's become Egyptian, in fact, and dresses like an Egyptian. And there's a famine that hits the entire land. But his wisdom that came from God said, hey, you should store up some here and you should do this here because when the famine comes that God told me will come, we'll be okay. And they were. And they were okay so much that they could bless the other peoples of the surrounding nations. And so famously, his 11 brothers and eventually his father came to him and had to bow down to him, and they didn't know it was him. But he had the power and the control. And remember, these are the brothers that hated him. These are the brothers that threw him in a pit, that knew he would be sold into slavery. These are the brothers that figured he was dead or left him for dead. It said that they hated him. They wanted to kill him. I read those scriptures to you. But the story ends well. Genesis 45 verse 1 says, then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him, as his 11 brothers there were in front of him, Benjamin, his one brother. And it says, and he cried. He says, have everyone go out for me. So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer, for they were dismayed at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. And they came closer. And he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. It's a sneak peek into next week that God wants to redeem those relationships and those situations, those things in your life that you're like, they're not redeemable. Well, the story of Joseph, an extreme story of an entire family that wanted him dead, was redeemed. I love that, right? Philippians 4:13, if you want to add this to your memorization list, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can. And every day I wake up and I say that to myself. In spite of my grief, in spite of the things that I need to do, I believe that God can still use, and I find strength through him. So I want to end with this. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, please, because I promised we would have a few moments of prayer. And so I want you to gather around. If you need to grab a mint, that's okay too, because you're going to pray closely. Gather around with 3 to 4 people. And I want you to rush. We're not going to rush here. And I want you to share, I could use prayer because of what I shared today and what you heard today, or pray for someone in your group about what's going on for this holiday season. So we're going to take about 5 minutes to do that. So find 3 or 4 people close by, and let's pray together, church.